So there's a lot of things to understand in order to get this world tight and connected. And a lot of it is in synchronizing and making these things dance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining me. My name is Franco Variano, and I'll be your host for the Tech Plus Art podcast. Tech Plus Art is the community for curious individuals and creators who are looking to make a dent in the universe. Together, we're exploring the new frontiers of creativity, humanity, and how emerging technologies will continue to shape our culture, professions, products, and much more. Join me on this journey as we speak with artists, makers, researchers, designers, and creators from all backgrounds and fields. Tech Plus Art is an inclusive community, and we make all our content for you. So we want to hear from you. If you've got any suggestions, topics you'd like us to explore, or contribute to yourself, let us know on Twitter or via the website. You can check us out at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. So with that said, let's get to today's episode. Sachin Beset is the co-founder and executive creative director of Moment Factory, a new breed of studio that has been pushing the boundaries of several industries in order to create some of the most imaginative public experiences the world has ever seen. Since their inception in 2001, Moment Factory has created more than 400 unique shows and destinations. Their productions span the globe and include clients like the NFL, Microsoft, Sony, Madonna, and many more. Sachin joins us to share his story, his perspective on the evolution of the industry, a glimpse at their creative process, and much more. So let's get started. Hey, Sachin, thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Great to be here. Thanks for the invitation. Nice to be in the quarantine times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the pleasure is all mine. I'm super excited to have you on the show to learn more about you, your work, Moment Factory, and what that journey has been like. But before we dive into that, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Where are you from and what was it like growing up?
I'm from Ottawa. I was born in Ottawa. I grew up in Ottawa, you know, in the suburbs. Grew up there and then moved on to Montreal later on in my 20s, I guess.
So how did you end up getting your start as a creative? And what does that mean to you in terms of the types of work that you do?
Well, justement, in Ottawa, I was in an art school called De La Salle. So basically from that environment, I studied theater. And from that environment, I started doing a lot of photography. And from the photography, I started doing live shows. So in the late 90s, beginning of the 2000s, you know, there was the beginning of this electronic music scene happening. And like rave parties, after hour parties. And from there, I was doing like slideshows in these parties. And we were doing 16 millimeter loops and projecting this into these nightclubs. And we were promoting raves in Ottawa and in Montreal and anywhere around. So from then, we just started doing more nightclubs, more raves. And we got together with a bunch of friends here in Montreal. I rented a loft and I just was like, okay, let's rent this place. A friend of mine was leaving. He's like, you want it? Like, okay, I'll take it. And then I didn't have any money to pay for it. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with it. But I was like, okay. And then we just kind of like friends brought their desks in and we started setting up and we started doing more events. And that's how we started Moment Factory. Me, Jason Rohde, and Dominique Audet. Dominic is still at Moment Factory. Jason left a few years back to do some other adventures. But basically, Dominic has more of a technical background. And I had more the creative kind of like, basically like set background and photography background. And Jason was more of a filmmaker. And we kind of just started doing mixing, like VJing, a lot of VJing and a lot of corporate events. And that's how we got started. Dominic was able to make these things happen. And we were putting images and mixing like the aesthetic of the VJing with the corporate events. And from there, we started working with Cirque du Soleil a lot. And that brought us so much help and business and lots of friends. And we did some of their parties and some of these great events with them. And then we started doing rock shows. And then we started doing a whole bunch of different permanent installations. And here we are today with coronavirus.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. And I'm sure we'll touch on that a bit more as the conversation goes on. But going back to the very beginning, before all of this, as you were in the early days of this journey, mixing these ideas and working with different groups of people, when did it first come together as Moment Factory and become a thing that you knew you wanted to do?
Well, with me, Dominic, and Jason, right at the early beginning, and we did one project with Cirque where Guy Laliberté, the owner of Cirque, was basically wanting to do a party in this inflatable dome. And it was a Halloween party and they wanted it to be a pumpkin. And at a certain point, they called us because we were VJing with the DJ that's a friend of Guy's. Anyhow, Alain Vinet, his name, great guy. And they wanted to make this into a pumpkin. So they wanted to project a pumpkin on this dome. And Dominic was working at the planetarium back then. So he was able to, like, with slide projectors, because you couldn't do that in video projectors back then. So we would do this in slide projectors and take the slides and cut them in the angles with, like, these feathers and all this, and have, like, all the slide projectors lined up, perfectly aligned to make this dome. And then so we made this pumpkin, and then we had shot Yi from inside a pumpkin opening the top of the pumpkin, so he would talk to his guests from the top. So everyone would look up, and then Guy would talk, "Hey, everybody, welcome." We had costumed him and stuff. That's how we started a relationship with Guy and Cirque. So that was a great, great success. It was a great event. And then, like, a few weeks later, Jean-François Bouchard, which was basically the creative director in charge of all these things at Cirque, he called us up because they were doing something on a cruise ship. So this became, like, a real big project. And it was, like, I think our first real gig. And I was like, "Dom, you need to quit your job and we need to take this seriously, you know?" Because before that, basically, we were all just paying the rent ourselves, you know, all working, like, you know, a bunch of hours every day and you know, for making, like, $100 a week each on gigs for VJing and nightclub and stuff.
And so how did you guys really get into this space? Because at the time, nobody was doing anything like this. How did you find this style and unique blend of disciplines?
Yeah, I guess it's the mix of different people with different headspaces and not knowing that it's impossible and just jumping into it. I mean, I didn't study much in school. I was basically, like, you know, after high school in Ottawa, I was kind of like, okay, went traveling out west and traveled around and then came to Montreal and got into this stuff. So I never really studied. So just learned from really working hard and just wanting to do crazy stuff and pushing this medium. And because we were kind of at the forefront of this, where, like, in those days, the technology was really basic and, like, projectors were the size of a table and, like, very weak. And you could, like, hang bed sheets and stuff like that, you know. And then slowly, you know, we were starting to mix different things together, different technologies, different people, and just kind of, like, working together with great people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, speaking of the role of technology in people, how have you seen this industry take shape and evolve over these years while building Moment Factory?
Well, today we have 450 employees. We have offices in 7 countries. We basically do projects in airports, for cities, for the biggest theme parks in the world. We have an IP of forests, basically, that we basically do night walks in forests at night also. In 7 countries also, or in 5 countries. So basically, this industry has changed. When we arrived, there wasn't really an industry. I see it sometimes a little bit like the beginning of cinema, where they would start by using somehow the tools of theater in the cinema, you know, like the Méliès and the Lumière brothers. They would basically use whatever they knew as far as a language to be able to start developing this. And then people came in and started contributing. And then you see what's happening in Netflix today. It's a completely different game. So I see us somehow contributing to this new language, to this new medium. And you can't use the same tools as film, even though we do use film kind of techniques, because people don't have the same experience. People are not necessarily sitting down. People are generally standing. We're mixing a lot of the physical environments. You know, in a film, you kind of forget your body. You get into suspension of disbelief. You enter this world. And when you see someone flying, you're like, "Oh yeah, that's normal. Superman is flying." You know, it's like, you're not surprised when you see someone flying. If you're in a park somewhere and you're walking down the street and you see someone flying, you're like, "Whoa," you know? So there's a whole different, and we use more, like, in the cities, in normal physical environments, and we start adding kind of technology and tricks and tools to create magic in these contexts. So this is a whole different context and a whole different way of telling stories and a whole different way of engaging audiences.
Wow, that's very interesting. And so can you give us some examples of the types of projects and clients that you work with now?
So we work in multiple different industries. We do a lot of rock shows. Lately, we've been doing Billie Eilish, Halsey, been doing a lot of Madonna shows. And we do a lot of theme parks, as I was saying earlier. We do a lot of museums also, which are super interesting. So we hit a lot of different industries. Lots of city, lots of airports, lots of big kind of infrastructure projects. The bridges here in Montreal, we did this big bridge that's quite stunning that takes data from the city and animates light effects during the night. So it just became something, I think, with time and with dedication and work and timing somehow. The technologies arriving and making things capable. You know, there wasn't any After Effects really when we started. It was just starting. There wasn't really, like, there was no iPhone. The internet was coming out. Everything was just starting. So the world has changed. And here we are today.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot of change in a short period of time. And so a moment ago, you spoke about context and really understanding that in order to then add magic and other unexpected elements to it. How do you balance these seemingly opposite ends of business requirements and creative ideas together? Or when you're working with a specific artist, for example, how do you balance what they want with something new and unique that only Moment Factory can bring in? And I realize that's a pretty big and complex question, but I'm just hoping you can take a shot at walking us through some of that.
It's a good question. You know, like we had to invent all of these processes and these ways and how we work because we couldn't take it like an architecture firm. There'll be a similar process as another architecture firm. They went to school, you know, and other people can take like, I don't know, industrial engineers, industrial designers, I mean, or like all kinds of creative, even all kinds of games and stuff. But we needed to really invent this medium. We needed to invent ways of working. And we need to mix different mediums and different tricks and processes from different industries. And, you know, it depends on the project. Some projects are different than others, but generally it comes with a certain research base. So we need to understand the context that we're working with, the cultural context, if it's with a rock star, what's their aesthetic? What are they into right now? What are they interested in? Or if it's with a theme park, we need to understand the IP. We need to understand the background. We need to understand what the market is. So we need to research and understand context. And then we need to understand the objectives. So we basically try to work from like clear objectives to understand what we're aiming towards. And then the ideas start to flow, you know, and we create a specific team of people, experts in different fields. And then basically we bring them together and they start conceptualizing and thinking about what's possible. I see the process often as like this kind of shape. You know, it goes like this. So we zoom out, we research, and then we zoom in, we find a big idea. Then from this big idea, we look wider from where we can take this, and then we zoom in again. So we zoom in and we zoom out often. And then, you know, we try to twist it and turn it and make sure that, you know, we thought about everything as much as we can to push it to as much as possible. But at the same time, the good ideas are simple. You know, if you make something too complicated, too big, too much, it doesn't work generally. So we need to also keep things production value wise because things become really expensive very fast when you're using big technology. So it's really this fine balance. But it takes experience. It takes time. You need to know what's possible and what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And so coming back to the industry at large for a moment, what do you feel is still missing or that you wish existed? Maybe that's something that Moment Factory is working to create. What type of connections or ideas are you trying to foster in a world where people are used to more and more technology and things like Netflix?
Well, you know, our motto is we do it in public. So we're about bringing people together. We see it like, you know, like 10,000 years ago, people would gather around a campfire and tell stories. And today the stories have changed, the technologies have changed, and the people have changed. But the basic human need to gather has stayed the same. And we see this today, especially in this COVID situation right now, where everyone's isolated at home in the last 8 weeks. It's been crazy. And you see that you're missing this human contact. And more, the world and the generations are becoming more and spending more and more time on personal devices, personal screen. And if you see the evolutionary theory, you imagine that 2-3 generations, there's going to be less and less of a need to leave your house, professional life, your personal life, everything's going to be taken care of alone at home. So we're trying to create reasons, good enough reasons to leave your house, to leave the safety of your home. Sometimes it's a bit more risky. Sometimes you could end up in an uncomfortable situation more than if you're on your couch at home. But in the end, we think it's important for people to have a good enough reason to leave their house. So we want to create unique, strong experiences that are memorable and touching and make people grow and learn and new experiences with people out of their homes. That's what we try to do, get people together physically.
Yeah. And so on the topic of creating something that's compelling enough to leave and coming together physically, where do you think this creative industry is headed? Is it about new and emerging technology or is it about that human connection?
For me, technology is kind of like it's useful. It's a tool. It's good. It's not useless, but it's not about that. It's about the connection. It's about the humanness. It's about the relationship. It's about the experience. And then the technology helps to kind of bring this in, but the content also helps. The music helps. The context helps. The ideas, the reflection, the people around, everything helps to create these experiences strong. I mean, some people really get off on technology, and we do. They don't get me wrong. But at the same time, our work is really based on humans. It's not based on technology. You know, we're not robots. We want to create emotions.
Yeah, it's very well said. And so pushing that idea even further, since Moment Factory is based out of Montreal, but has several offices and operates basically anywhere, how have you seen these different locations and different cultures respond to and foster that connection to some of those human values? Are there any differences in the approach, or is it basically all the same?
Some things are similar and some things are different. I would suspect that 50 years ago, the world was much more different. Because now with technology and Instagram and the internet, I remember I was traveling a lot, and like every 2 days I was in a different country, different city, and the stores were all the same. You have the same stores. You don't get anything different. And you go from like East Europe to London to New York to Asia. It's all the same stores. So I think the world is becoming more and more similar, but there's still a whole bunch of different cultural ways and triggers and symbols and habits that are quite different. And the way people act and are and the values change between generations and how they are together between men and women. There's a lot of differences, but it's very specific. Like in the Middle East, it's very different than if you're in Japan. And if you're in Japan, it's very different than Korea or China. So it's not just big regions. It can get quite specific. Like some things in the US would be different than in Canada, for example. So we need to treat those things case by case individually, because sometimes colors or symbols or subjects or topics or the types of things people would like in Asia or in China might be different than the types of things people would like in New York, for example. So we need to be aware of those things and understand their local culture and then work from there, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And so throughout your career, and maybe this overlaps with work you've done with Moment Factory, maybe it doesn't, but what has been one of your most ambitious projects to date? Something that really still stands out in your mind?
I mean, there's been so many crazy projects, you know, like since the beginning, we couldn't, even if we said like, okay, what's the craziest thing we can imagine? We can never imagine like 1/10 of what the projects that we've done or did and will do, I'm sure. Because there's so many things happening and so many things become possible one after the other. But for me, the craziest thing is the studio. The fact that we built Moment Factory and we have 400 people in this amazing space and all these amazing people, so talented, people coming from everywhere in the world, all growing together, one project after another and learning and growing. And there's kids coming out, there's people meeting in the studio. We do crazy parties. People connect humanly. And for me, to see people grow, to see people learn as humans together, that's what for me is really the most exciting all of this. The projects are amazing, but they're kind of like the environment for this human connection, this human growth.
Wow, that's very well said. And so on that note, at a personal level or with Moment Factory, with everything that's going on right now, what's next for you? What's next for Moment Factory, if you're able to share your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a tough time, you know, this COVID time, because our motto is we do it in public. And now COVID time, there's no doing it in public. And we don't know when it's going to start again and how it's going to look, this new world. You know, it seems like the world could have changed. Is it going to change or is it going to be back to normal in 6 months? No one has seen this before and it's really hard to know. And there's so much change and movement and variables. We're really lucky that we work in a big variety of industries. So all the concerts and the events have been canceled completely and that whole industry is really shaken. While the more permanent installations are still going, the architecture and the museums and airports and like bigger, longer term projects, they see a longer term and they imagine there's going to be vaccines, everything's going to be back to normal, people will be able to travel, etc. So the difference is quite big. And we're looking at and exploring and testing and doing R&D and all kinds of different COVID solutions. So how we can keep social distancing, how do we manage lineups, how do we manage amounts of people in our installations, how do we help contribute to this cause, you know? It's quite a challenge for us right now.
Yeah, definitely. Because wherever there's a big challenge, there are also new opportunities. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how you and Moment Factory can add to this new future.
Yeah, I mean, it is somehow an opportunity, you know, like we've been also very lucky and we've seen and managed to take opportunities or take situations and turn them into opportunities and make those flourish. So we're looking at trying to make this into an opportunity also of change, of transition, of transformation, and of finding new ways to bring people together. Maybe people will even be more valuing the fact of connecting afterwards because they missed it.
That's very true. And so given the pace and rate of change in this industry and in this new world, what advice would you have to share with someone who's just looking to get started?
Yeah, I mean, work hard, you know, it's a lot of work. It's not like, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. It's complex. I would say like also learn to do it yourself. Learn to do as many things as you can yourself so you're independent and you understand a bunch of things. And it's a really multidisciplinary world or medium. So it's not like, oh, you learn to program and then you can do everything. You know, you need to learn programming, but you need to learn design and you need to learn aesthetics and you need to learn storytelling and you need to understand the technical, you need to understand the lighting, you need to understand the sound. So there's a lot of things to understand in order to get this world tight and connected. And a lot of it is in synchronizing and making these things dance. Somehow I see it a little bit like making a big robot dance. You can make it move. A lot of people can make it move, but to make it really dance in this flowy thing is where it becomes touching. And that's what's tricky. And you can only do that when things are synchronized, when things come together and this magic is kind of like manifesting, and timing is a big key to this, you know, making things just jive together, glued up with timing.
Definitely. I completely agree. And I couldn't think of a better way to end this episode. Sachin, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Tech Plus Art Podcast. We're a very small team behind this project, so we greatly appreciate all your support. If you love our content and these podcasts, consider leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend or two. This really does go a long way in helping us get discovered and reach more creators. As always, you can find us online at maketechart.com or at maketechart everywhere else. See you soon.